Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello. Welcome to another Happy Pod, the only podcast in the world. My name is Nathan, and it is the day after my 30th birthday, and we made the reckless decision to record a podcast and get very drunk at the same time. And as a result of that, I am now very much in pain, and I'd like to introduce the cunt whose idea it was to do that. And that is my co-host, Lawrence Thomas. I see. Hello.
Hello. I'm going to talk as slow as you...
Lawrence, shut the fuck up and tell us what this show is all about.
Nathan, this is the show where I might be too loud and give you a headache, but it is also the show where we get together and discuss something in the realm of pop culture. It could be a movie, it could be a little telly show, it could be a video game, but the main thing is that we do so without any of the toxic discourse that is oh so prevalent, and today is a special episode, Nathan.
I don't care. I'm actually not that bad, to be honest with you. Earlier, I was very rough. Like, when I woke up this morning, fuck me. Oh my God. Horrendous. And by the way, we recorded next week's episode, so next week you'll hear exactly what we got up to. And strap in
in for a very long time. I hope you're planning a long drive or something.
Yeah, if you have a journey to do, like over the Christmas break, maybe this is the one for that, but fucking hell. But now it's like 9 o'clock in the evening, so I'm mostly okay. I have a Coca-Cola Zero, so
I have a Pepsi Max Cherry.
I didn't ask. What did you just say, Lawrence?
It's a special episode, Nathan. It's the Christmas episode. It's special.
It's our festive episode, Lawrence, not just Christmas. We celebrate all holidays here, Lawrence. Bloody hell, you can't even say Merry Christmas anymore. Bloody woke police. I'm doing too many things at once here. It's Christmas. Hello. And happy holidays and Merry Christmas. And
you still happy, don't seem well adjusted to this.
Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy Diwali, although I don't think Diwali is this time of year.
Somehow gone full circle to now being the more offensive one?
Yeah, now I'm more offensive. I've overcorrected and now I've gone right back around to being offensive. Anyway, happy holiday season to all.
Happy holidays. Oh, I thought that was to me. I interjected too early. Do you still wish that I have a happy holiday season?
I wish that you would shut up and get on with this podcast.
It's solely on me, is it?
Yes.
You are rough. I can tell. I can tell you've had a rough morning. You may not be rough now, but I can tell that it has not been a great day for you.
I'm 30 now, Lawrence. Life is not great for me anymore, okay?
Yeah. It's true. I mean, no, you've still got, you know, you're still in the prime. You're still in early days.
I am long past. I don't think I ever had a prime, if I'm being honest with you.
No, we discussed this the other day on the phone, right? There are stages of being, and you're not a teenager, you're not a young man, you're just a man. And then soon you'll be a middle-aged man and then an old man. But you're in the middle. You're man.
Yeah.
You really aren't happy about it still.
Lawrence, I'm still grappling with the fact that I just turned 30, okay? I'm still trying to get my head around that, all right? And then I'm doing a podcast with a young child of 26, okay? So...
Oh, yeah, this is the rare... This is like the brief window in the year where you're a full 4 years older than me.
Well, I'm not. I'm 3 years and 10 months older than you.
I've done the maths. I know that 26 to 30 is 4 years. Will it annoy you to know that I...
Wait, not even... Is it 3 years and 10 months or 3 years and 2 months?
3 years and 2 months, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I had it the other way around. I did the opposite.
You did? Yeah. Will it frustrate you to know that not only was I up at 5:45 in the morning, I also felt fine?
Lawrence, it would frustrate me that you don't want to start this podcast, which is what is happening.
Nathan, happy holidays. Today we are talking about the holiday, the one.
Yeah, I know. I watched it.
Come on, give me an in. You want me to start, then you put up a brick wall like that.
put up a brick wall to what? Put up a brick wall to the statement, we are watching the holiday. That's an inviting question, isn't it? Great. There's so many ways I can spin off and go with that one, isn't there?
Nathan, tell me what we're watching today.
Fuck off, Lawrence.
And had you seen this movie before, Nathan?
Yes, it's a Christmas holiday favourite of mine. Fucking hell.
It's just a man falling apart.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Nathan, I had seen half of this movie before.
You haven't seen The Holiday?
I hadn't seen The Holiday. I've seen half of The Holiday, if that counts.
What's wrong with you?
Like, it wasn't by choice, right?
What's happened in your life?
It was a couple of Christmases ago, and halfway through, I can't remember what happened, but I knew I had to stop it because I had to do something else. And then I was frustrated that I'd watched
half of it. What could possibly be more important than finishing The Holiday, Lawrence?
I can't remember, but probably something. Anything could be more important than watching a movie.
That doesn't track to me.
No.
Especially not this movie.
It's a very good movie, I will say. You hate it, obviously.
Don't.
It sounded wrong.
It did. That's not right. What a cheap imitation. What a...
A wish.com.
Exactly. A wish version of the good joke. Look, that does not suit you all. That does not become you, all right?
I won't do it again.
I don't want to hear that again coming from your lips, frankly.
out of holiday movies, where does this rank for you? Where does this sit? Is this an every year watch? Is this a...
It's in my rotation, yeah. I have a rotation of movies that I watch every Christmas.
Yeah.
And this is among them, so I do watch this every year, once a year at least, yes.
And is it like top tier, like top shelf?
Well, it's in my rotation, so that means yes.
Well, yeah, but I haven't asked you how many things are in your rotation. It might not be an exclusive club.
There's about five.
Okay.
About five movies I'll watch every Christmas, and this is among them, yeah.
And what number do you watch it in the rotation?
I don't have like a rank. I don't really like ranking things. It's just these are what I enjoy, and these are the movies that I watch. And they're not in any particular order. The order I watch them in doesn't pertain to anything. It's just these are the movies.
I'm just trying to establish a hierarchy here on your
There's
Christmas.
No hierarchy. It's just a movie that I enjoy. And it's in good company as well. It's up there with Love Actually, The Christmas Chronicles, which is a new favourite of mine. I really enjoy.
What's The Christmas Chronicles? I don't know that one.
Hot Kurt Russell Santa Claus. The Grinch, obviously. We did that last year.
We did.
And a few others. But yes, it's up there. I enjoy it very much. It's a little different from like Christmas. You know, it's not like Santa Claus and his like magical and his little fucking... presents and elves and all that shit, which is good, and it's nice to have as Christmas movies, obviously. But like, it's a little Christmas rom-com, isn't it?
That I think that's when it's at its best as well, because it doesn't overdo it. It's set at Christmas, but it's not like you know how most Christmas movies will have the scene where they go to the mall and there's a mall Santa, and like it's maybe too much Christmas.
No,
I'm just saying what you said.
My favorite part of any Christmas movie is when they like there'll be some kind of like, I don't know, they'll go out for a trip or whatever, and then there'll be an establishing shot of, say, the city or the mall or wherever they're going, and it'll always be the exact same song that plays. And it's always... Because it's a Christmas song, but it's good and cheery, and it gets you in the mood, so it establishes the right tone.
It does.
Scene. So,
yeah. What's your favourite Christmas song?
You was just listening to it, White Wine in the Sun, Tim Minchin.
That is an obscure choice, I will say. Yeah.
It's a good choice, though. It's a good Christmas song.
I feel really basic. Beautiful. Now. Mine's like a mixture of Wham and what's that other one? What's that? Elton John.
Step into Christmas.
That's the one. Yeah.
Step into Christmas. Christmas.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Which isn't very progressive because I like to say step into the holidays. But anyway, look, let us jump in, Nathan. There's a bald man at the Telegraph, and I wanted to hit him.
What?
Right, you know Kate Winslet works at the Telegraph, at the Daily Telegraph.
She works for a newspaper. It may be the Telegraph.
It is the Telegraph.
Great. Well, there we go. Now that we've cracked that riddle.
Thank you. It immediately like introduces you to this like, oh, this just lovely character. And there's like, I think that's one of the things about this, right? It's so charming. Everyone in this is just a joy to watch do things.
No.
Oh.
Continue.
Then who? I'm curious.
Well, everyone in this is not a joy to watch. There's that smarmy cunt who's like, who Kate Winslet is pining after.
Oh, yes. Yeah. All right. But like the core four, they're all, yeah. Or the core five, they're all a joy. Yeah. They're nice. No, but you've got the, speaking of the smarmy guy, yeah, I don't know. It was really mean. I always know that like in Christmas movies, they set up to be like, here is the protagonist. You need to feel aligned with them. You need to like feel whatever they're feeling just to get you on their side for the whole movie. But the way that like, I guess he's like the chief editor or whatever of the Telegraph is just like, I've got an exclusive tip for you. This one woman who had like a public affair with this man a couple months back or a couple years back or whatever. And it's you're the only one that's allowed to report on this. And it's that he's getting engaged.
I'm largely indifferent to that.
That's nasty, no?
I mean, yeah, but he's not really thinking about it, is he? He's just...
I think he is, because he dials in on her. He's like, I've got one specific tip for you, and only you in the room.
But I don't get the sense that he knows Kate Winslet's personal entire history, because then why would he do that?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Why? It's nasty, because she says it was like office chatter.
It's nasty. Like, that just seems... pointlessly nasty, no?
Yeah, it does. She was saying it was like office chatter, didn't she? She was like, it's water cooler conversation. I got the impression people know.
All right, but you've never worked in an office, so you don't fucking know. But like, if you have office chatter, you're not doing that with your boss, are you?
True. Yeah, I guess
you're
so.
You're doing that with your mates and the fucking people who are really the only reason other than the paycheck that you're still fucking working there. Let's be honest. You're not talking to your boss about who you shagged in the fucking copy room one time, are you?
Yeah, but things get around, a bit of gossip. I think it was weird that it was zeroed in on her.
Who's telling stuff to the boss, though? No one talks to the boss. No one likes the boss.
He seemed well-liked. He was stood up, giving a little speech. People seem to entertain him.
Like, he was stood up, giving a speech, like bosses often do. Sometimes it's very clear you've never worked a proper job.
God, you're in a stinker of a mood today.
Well, you don't understand real life, Orange.
I'll tell you what I do understand. I do understand that you should be able to make more than 75 trailers in a year if your job is making trailers.
I thought that. You're jumping about a bit. You're picking some weird notes to clarify you're not. Like, we haven't established the plot, any of the characters or anything.
We'll get there. Let's get into the important stuff.
But sure, let's talk about Cameron Diaz's job before we talk about her as a character. I will admit, I did find it when they said that like she's cut 75 trailers this year. I was like, that seems low. That's like,
and he's like, and that's supposed to be a statement. He's be like, you've cut 75 trailers. That's insane. Yeah,
yeah, but and that's like, that's less than a trailer. No, it's more than a trailer a week. It's like 1 point something trailer, like one a trailer and a half.
Yeah.
A week, pretty much. Like, All right.
Yeah.
But I mean, like,
slow
she's
down.
Also got, she's also got like a team. She's got Jim from The Office with her. She's got someone else.
Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn. Yeah, she's got Catherine Hahn and Jim from The Office. And I was like, what is this job? She's. I know she's like she's cutting trailers, but then she's like, she's also doing that by committee and being and she's like directing the editing of a trailer. Really.
Yeah, it's, I think it's like
she... Like, she's not in, like, Premiere Pro herself, like, fucking... She's got Jim to do that, and she's just telling him to, like, make the text red and add the music here and stuff.
So do you want Lawrence, the normal person watching movies, to answer this, or do you want Lawrence, the video editor,
I think now we need to have a fucking a little segment from Lawrence, the video editor, don't we?
It's true. Look, I worked it out, right? Maybe with studio revisions... Trailers can be cut, like, very quickly. And she's not working solo on these things. She says she's, like, the head of a company. And I'm assuming that company extends more than to just Catherine Hahn and John Krasinski. Like, I'm sure there's a team of some others somewhere else.
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't get that sense.
No, yeah, it does feel like a bit of a small unit, I guess. Yeah. Because no one... She's not, like, fielding calls from anyone. No one seems to be needing her. I don't know. Look, either way...
I mean, she's doing all right for herself.
She's doing, and this is what this is the part that I really needed to work maybe, this out.
But if she has her own company, then clearly, and she's like she's in demand. The you know they've got a hot Lindsay Lohan and James Franco movie. Like fucking hell, Universal are paying her the big bucks to make this trailer.
I know to some degree about what like the going rate for this is, and if she's paying two people on staff and that mortgage.
No, but you know the going rate for a YouTube editor who
I listen to a few editing podcasts and they're always like they're from like they've cut like Justin Bieber music videos and stuff like they're
quite... All right, so what's the going rate for a Hollywood trailer editor?
Like a high end one, like the 1% will be making like 150k a year. From doing this okay. As an annual position, whereas
that's not really that much for LA.
No,
really.
not for that house.
No, not for that house. But also, like, who cares?
I do. This is no right. This is you know how specific you get about London skylines. This is one of the rare instances where someone
that's something that's actually real, though.
And my entire job isn't real.
Well, real in the sense that if you look at the London skyline, you can see. It and not real in the sense that like you know an editor's salary isn't common information that everyone knows, you know.
I'm just saying, right, I saw the trailer that was played when she gave notes and she was like make the logo redder or something.
Yeah, right?
I saw behind John Krasinski is a monitor with an editing timeline.
Yes,
which did not look reflective of a timeline that would have that many things going on in the total video. So, and this is what I'm thinking, right? If she's cutting 75 of these...
Is this what it's like for you when I get pedantic about shit that doesn't matter?
Yes, yeah, very
right
much.
Now, what I'm thinking about is, yeah, because it's a fucking movie, man.
Like, yes.
Just putting in, like, the 99.9% of people do not give a fuck about this. So,
well, they're listening to this podcast, and I'm here, and I do, so fuck them. Look, if you let me get through it, I'll get done quickly, I promise.
Okay.
Right, so I saw the editing timeline. It is not reflective of the video that's shown. There's way too little going on in that timeline. And that frustrated me, especially when you work out if she's edited 75 of these, and with a thin timeline like that, not too high vertically, right, I'm left to assume that she's added on presets, which add to the clip. They don't create an extra layer. On the timeline, okay. Right?
I think you're thinking about this more than the writer, director, or literally anyone involved in this scene did, but okay.
Well, then, look.
You're probably thinking about this more than the actual editor of the fucking movie did, but go on.
Forgive me for accuracy, Nathan. Look, I want to be immersed at Christmas. But yeah, I don't know. Look, I also worked out that with my... She did 75 this year, and that's a massive thing, right? Trailers are give or take... You know, they're edit heavy, obviously, but they're also give or take kind of max 3 minutes.
What?
So, like, most trailers are about 3 minutes.
Oh, I thought you meant like it takes 3 minutes to do one.
Oh, no, fuck you, no. I mean, maybe with that skinny timeline, who knows? Preset galore. No, I worked out that I edited 225 videos this year outside of like that. That's just the regular things. And I accepted other work, and I'm just saying, I want a big mansion in LA.
I would think that, and not to insult you,
but I feel like I'm about to be. So go ahead.
Like no disrespect to you, but I feel like there's slightly more work that goes into editing a big budget Hollywood trailer when the studios are paying like fucking however much for these trailers that they're probably putting just a. And they're all like wrapped up in so much secrecy and stuff. They're probably putting more thought and care and attention into it than the fucking silly little Rodney meme or whatever, you know?
Look, more people involved does not equate to more work. It would take longer because there'd be like 8 studio people that would have to approve it and they'd all want to put their little 2 cents in, right?
But I think there'd be more work, though, for a trailer.
I work hard and I want a mansion in LA, all right? So that's all I'm saying. Is that too much to ask?
No, it's not.
Thank you.
Can we move on?
We can.
Can we discuss the characters and the plot and what we shut it down before we got into the intricacies of Cameron Diaz's fake job?
Yes, I suppose so. Right, go on. Take me somewhere.
All right, so we have Kate Winslet, who's a unlucky in love sort of journalist, very... likeable, relatable, young, beautiful character. We have Cameron Diaz, who is a sort of unlucky in love, very young, very beautiful sort of American character. And then they swap homes because that's the thing people do, apparently. They swap homes for the holidays. This seems like a ridiculous idea, but also a pretty good idea because it's like basically a free holiday, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's nice. I like the idea that like it's zero complications. It's like, I'll drive your car, you drive mine. Let's not fuck around. Like it's simple.
I don't have a car.
Yeah, fuck you. When they arrive, like, where's the car? You should have read the fine print, I'm afraid. Yeah, no, I liked it and I thought it was a good idea right up until I realized that she'd left her dog with a complete stranger. And I was like, that seems...
I'm sure she would have told her about the dog, and I think she'd be fine. I mean, she's leaving a house with a complete stranger. Like, I think the dog will be okay.
No, but, like, you don't know this person. This person could have, like, a dog murdering thing.
You don't know this person, and yet you're inviting them to stay in your house. I think if you're willing to make that leap, then looking after your dog, I think you'll be okay with that. They seem like they. It's not like they just never talked and was like, "Look after my dog," you know.
Yeah, she gets there and she's like, "What the fuck?"
They spoke. I'm sure it would have come up, you know.
I'm just
Cameron
saying.
Cameron Diaz didn't just get there and think, "Oh my god, there's a fucking dog here."
Yeah, but would you not find it weird leaving the dog with a complete stranger?
Like, not if I'd spoken to them beforehand and I was assured that they would be okay. You when you go away, you take your dog to a little sort of. Like daycare, fucking kennel, overnight stay sort of thing.
Yeah, but
there's like a bloke who runs that. But presumably, before you took Rosie there, that's your dog, not your wife. Before you took Rosie,
come on,
there,
darling, to the kennels.
he would have been a stranger to you.
Not you. Yes, in the sense that I'd never met him, but he was also recommended from the place I adopted Rosie from, and he's like their on-site vet and like daycare person.
So he was
connected.
That's fair enough then. But like other people will presumably take their dogs to him and they've never met him or have that connection and stuff.
I guess so.
So like yeah,
irresponsible owners is what I say.
they spoke to each other. It was on that weird messenger that was shaped like a house.
Yeah, it was actually, wasn't it? Was it like a service? I guess it was because there was like listings, wasn't there?
It was like the website or whatever. Sort of thing.
I like that it was like it was seemingly like a crazy idea, but like you're both on this website for a reason. And to call me crazy, but should we do this? Yeah.
It seemed pretty strange to me that like Cameron Diaz, she was like looking, you know, she'd take a vacation, she's found this website, and then she's like, oh, where can I go? She's like, it's like a mid to late noughties Airbnb before Airbnb was a thing, sort of thing, really. And she's like, oh, where can I stay? What's this? Where can I look? She's looking at these places, like the Cotswolds, and then she finds this little cottage in Surrey, and she's like, oh, this looks nice. Maybe I'll send the owner a message. So she sends the owner, Kate Winslet, a message, And then like 5 seconds later, immediately follows that up with, "Are you there?" I was like,
calm down.
They might not be, you know, like...
Also, there's a time difference. It's very possible that she's like busy or asleep or at work or something.
Exactly. Like if I'm messaging like an Airbnb, and I won't stay in an Airbnb because fucking hell, what a horrible company which does horrible things and completely ruins the house and economy. But if I do, then I'm not. Then I message the owner. I'm not going to immediately be like, "Why aren't you replying to me?" Like a moment later.
Respond.
Yeah.
Oh, do you not want my business? Is that it?
Exactly. So that seemed odd. But whatever. It's a movie. Yes. And they do this. They swap homes.
They do. As a setup, it's really intriguing. It's just
Lawrence, shut up. Sorry, I realized I interrupted you because I was going to talk about something completely different, but no, please continue.
All right, I'll be quick because I see that you want to do other things. It's just like an intriguing setup, the way that they're like, it does what a Christmas movie should do. It just gets you on side straight away. It's like, these are two people that desperately need a change. And it's basically a double fish out of water scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
What could go wrong?
They're both recently had a... you know, a bad situation, a bad, like, breakup, like, realized I was never actually with this person sort of situation. And then they're like, "I just need some space. I need to get out of here. I need a break. I need to reset and be somewhere new and forget about all that sort of shit." So that's what they do. Lawrence, let's do house talk, all right?
Okay, yes.
House talk. Okay. Now, at first glance, you might think that one of these people gets a much better deal than the other, okay? But what if I were to tell you that Kate Winslet lives in my actual dream home?
Yeah.
Okay?
It's a lovely little place.
It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you know what I would give for just a little, like, fucking, I don't know, 17th century farm cottage like that? And it's old, so you know, like, the brickwork is strong. It's, like, it's not going to fucking fall down at, like, the fucking touch of a fucking whatever. It's not like these new builds that are all crusty and poorly built and can't even fucking...
we put the door in the wrong place. Is that a problem?
Yeah. Well, it is a little bit, yeah.
Oh, we put it in the right place now, but it's actually upside down this time.
And it's a very remote, quiet location. I wouldn't have anyone disturbing me.
Mm.
It's beautiful, surrounded by all these nice fields and farm animals and all this stuff. And I was like, you know what? If I could live there alone and no one apart from a few people knew I lived there, that would be the perfect life for me. I would adore that. So out of the two homes, and this might sound crazy, but out of the two homes, that is the one I would rather have.
Yeah. And I'm also coming at it from a perspective of, like, I know that Cameron Diaz's house costs more money. But Kate Winslet's house is not fucking cheap.
That would cost a pretty penny, mate.
Big time pretty penny. And, like, I know it's 2006, but, like... Yeah. That
the housing market hadn't crashed yet. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, things weren't as bad as they are now. But, like, I think that would have been a pretty penny or two. And today it'll be, like, a pretty penny.
Which, when you see it as, like, a wide shot, and it's, like, there is not a soul in sight. No, like, and it's, like, that's... You have to pay for that level of privacy. You really do. I like that when she, like, goes to Jude Law's house.
40 minutes outside of London?
That's incredible.
She's commuting to central London for her job, man. Like, are you kidding me? Like, in London, where you can pay like fucking 400 grand for a studio flat. Like, fucking hell, mate. And that's probably been extremely generous.
Yeah.
That is, as well. So
I do like that they drop that kind of like wealth gap thing. Like, as soon as you see Jude Law's house.
The
stately mansion that I guess from a close up passes as a little humble abode, and it's like you walk in, I'm like, this is that's multiple millions. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's true. Mm. They I can't remember if they ever say the name of like the actual town. They just say it's in Surrey, which is like vague because Surrey's a very big place. But they're like. The town or the village, but it seems like it would be like one of those, You know when like there's a over the top British person in like an American show, and they always say they're from like Catherine Tate in The Office, and they always say they're from like a British town, which is like some fake name, which is like Little Crumpetsville upon Basildon or something like that. It seemed like this is the exact town that would be called something like that, really.
Yeah, seemingly inexpensive, but also extremely posh and upmarket. And
with little like farmers, artisan markets, and like a bunch of shops and cheese stalls and all that sort of stuff.
Everyone knows everyone, despite there being like a 2 mile country road between houses. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I like that they pass off that like in this like kind of like a villagey area, LA is actually the one where people seem to know more people. Like, LA seems to be the place where Kate Winslet's walking around and she's like, "Hey there, mailman Bob," and "Hey there," like, just to everyone she walks past, she knows their name within like 3 days or something.
Well, she's friendly, isn't she? She's friendly.
It's true.
British.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet. No, I was depressed earlier because I was watching this movie.
And now you'll move on to your point.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was watching this and I was like, how old is Kate Winslet? So then I Googled it and she's 48 now. And then I worked out in my head that means she was 30 at the time she was filming this. And I was like,
God,
I just turned 30 and I'm nowhere near as successful or as pretty as Kate Winslet. And that just depressed me.
Is she playing a 30-year-old? Does she say, like, is she meant to be older?
She's playing probably around that age, yeah.
Yeah. She looks very... Do you know what? It's a good movie for great-looking people.
You know what? Well... Yeah.
Go on. Who's the...
No.
Are you talking about Jack Black?
I never said that, Lawrence.
Yeah, but you had the face.
He looks incredible
in this. Like, as he's supposed to be, like, the more everyman than Jude Law. They fucking... The gods chiseled Jude Law's fucking physique. Right.
I like the casting of Jack Black in this because it's not traditional, like fucking rom com casting. It's not like the fucking most handsomest man you've ever met who's like chiseled with a six pack and everything like that. And everything he's a chubby guy who like loves music and he's a bit weird and he'll, you know, Jack Black has been cast in a movie, so of course you're going to get him to do Ruddy-duddy-doo and his little scoobity-doobity-doos and all this kind of stuff.
I was wondering when it would... And as soon as it came out, I was like, there it is.
Yeah.
There's just not one without it.
No, you hire Jack Black, that's what you're going to get. He throws it in for free, man. Like, I reckon he puts it in all of his contracts. It's like, if I'm in this movie, at some point I'm going scoobity-doodity-doo. Okay?
One day he's going to have another thing in his career, like a new era of his career. You know, like Nicolas Cage and Adam Sandler have started doing serious movies now.
Yeah.
He's going to have one of them, but it's going to be like, my wife is dead and I'm depressed and I'm having a terrible time. And then it just at the end, he's just for the sake of being Jack Black, he's just going to have to look at the camera and go...
I think hell will freeze over before Jack Black takes on like serious roles like that.
Like, I think he's got it in him. He's a fucking great actor.
I think he's got it in him, but I don't think he wants to do that shit. He likes having fun. And he just likes running around with his pants on, pretending he's like 4 or something, or whatever he's doing on TikTok.
You seen that video of him, like, as he's in like a really tight Spider-Man costume, and he's like just going up the walls of like a garden.
Yeah, he does loads of shit like that.
Yeah. He's... What a great person.
Yeah, he's very good, though. He's a very cool dude.
Yeah.
You know that story about his mum?
No. Oh, she's a rocket scientist, right?
Yeah, there's this big thing, which is, like, I can't remember exactly what she did, but I think it was something to do with, like, the moon landing. She was, like, chief engineer or something on, like...
Holy shit.
...the rocket that went to the moon, and then she, like, gave birth, like, on the same night or something to Jack Black or some weird shit like that.
Didn't leave the post or something, did she?
I don't know. There's something weird going on. But yeah, she was a rocket scientist or something, which is pretty
Jack
cool.
Black was forged in flames.
Short.
I like that casting because they do a bit of both. Jude Law is like there's like a couple of shots he like puts on his glasses and it's almost like the
most beautiful man you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, and they know what they're doing because there's a pause and there's a hold on it and Cameron Diaz is like, oh, I better adjust myself to match the heights of this primo man in front of me.
I feel like this is the fantasy of like every young American girl, really. And it's like a charming, hot British guy who's like very polite and And like,
they're far almost, and few between Jude Law types.
Yeah, it's almost annoying just how fucking perfect Jude Law is, because like, he's beautiful, he's handsome, he's lovely, British and charming and all that kind of stuff. And then like, he's like, when we get around to finding out what his flaw is and his terrible deep dark secret, it's that he's a dad who loves his daughters too much
and wants to protect them from the turbulent life of dating.
He cares too much about his little girls, and he's such a good dad, and it's not at all attractive and the most fucking beautiful thing anyone's ever seen.
It's the way that, like, as soon as they started building up that, like, little jealousy thing, you know, like, Olivia, who's Olivia, this other girl,
Lucy or whatever it was, Sophie or something.
Yeah, and it's I'm sat there like, this can't be, like, because he's walking around being like, I can't think of a single reason why we shouldn't go to town. And he's like, he's just being the most romantic guy ever. I'm like, there's something going on here. And then when it got revealed, I was like, this is supposed to be a bad thing? I don't understand the conflict here.
Well, it's complicated. I mean, like Cameron Diaz is here for 2 weeks, you know.
Mm.
She ended up shagging the fucking owner of the house's brother, like, on the first night or whatever.
Nuts.
And then she's like, well, this is a bit of a situation, but whatever, I'm going home. But now I'm not. And then, you know.
They get themselves quite entangled.
They do, which was never the plan, really, but.
True. Do you know what? I just think they've all got like bucket loads of charisma. But like, before we move on from Jude Law, I do like that he is the fantasy, isn't he? He is like the well read, studied literature Englishman with his fancy glasses.
The plot of this movie is not like dissimilar from like a fucking AU fanfic or like a fucking. Like, this is like a romance novel, really. Yeah. It really is, in the sense that, you know, you need a break. You've had a horrible experience with a bad ex, like a mean, horrible man who never treated you right. So you go across the country, you go to a tiny English village, and you're like from the big American city where coffees cost $25 and you walk with movie stars. But now you're in a quaint little English village, and suddenly there's this charming British man, and he's going to teach you the meaning of Christmas while he falls in love with you.
I think they get away with that, like, because it is a bit cliche, but they get away with it by like every time.
Oh, I think that's good.
Yeah,
let me be clear. I think that's great. I will eat up and read that shit all the time. This is like a stone's throw away from them checking into a hotel and there being only one room with one double bed available. Yeah. Okay, I will eat this shit up, man.
I'll stay on the floor. No, you can't be doing that. Yeah,
it's cold. We'll need to cuddle. I get all excited.
No, but like, even if there were people that were like, that's a bit too cliche and on the nose, I think the movie, like, it has this good little format of getting out of it, where every time it gets a little bit too Hollywood movie, suddenly this voice is like, Cameron Diaz can't catch a break. It just outright goes, yeah, we know. Like, this is cheesy and stupid, and here's the trailer, man, from all of these trailers that you know.
It's great, yeah.
Is that one man?
Well, there were several one men.
Okay.
There was like a really famous one, and then he passed away. And the really famous one is like the traditional, like, in a world sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then
nice jump to the effect.
Thank you. It was very quick. and then there was like a few others, but it's not done anymore. It's not sort of a,
yeah, they had like a real profitable 10 years. They got in, they made their money and they got out.
Well, no, like fucking trailer voiceovers, like the whole, because trailers were very different. Trailers were just basically the entire movie, but like in like 90 seconds or whatever. Like, and he'll fall in love with his old girl and they'll raise a kid this summer. Yeah. Experience the magic, you know? And it'll show you everything pretty much.
If you ever want to feel old, go and watch the original trailer for The Avengers. And just witness.
Oh, with the fucking like new metal. And
yeah, it's everything. Just shots from the movie of them fighting, but there's this rock band going on. And it's a time capsule of like, oh, things really do change over 10 years.
They do. 12 years.
12. Oh, yeah.
Well, 12. Yeah, yeah. 12
almost
years,
12,
guess,
yeah.
No, it will be 12 by the time the trailer came out, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes. Very true. Yeah. I think it's weird to have sex with someone in your sister's bed.
I mean, yeah, I can't disagree with you.
Okay, but also,
I don't think that thought would have ever have crossed Jude Law's mind at any point during the evening, and I don't really think it should have either. At no point should he have been like, "Is this weird?"
All right, well, look, let's. What's going on across the pond? What's going on with Kate Winslet over in LA?
Well, I'll tell you in a moment, Lawrence, but first we need to listen to some beautiful ads.
I love beautiful ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow, those are beautiful ads, and I love all those products.
Unless we don't. Again, the disclaimer. In case they're terrible. I like that it takes Kate Winslet a bit longer to, like, meet her dream boo. Like, she kind of has to, like... Because the whole point of her being there is to, like... get over someone, and she obviously, like, we see that she's deeply in love. Cameron Diaz obviously was in a relationship, but she obviously wasn't that invested in it, and nor was he. It was very, like, superficial, it seemed.
They live together, so I think they were somewhat invested in
you can be invested, but you can also be, like, emotionally checked out of something and just in the habit of being there and having that thing. Like,
I don't think that I didn't get that vibe at all.
I did. They even say, like, we've been having problems for years. Like,
yeah, I got the sense that she was very much invested in it.
I don't think so. He made a comment of, like, you work all the time. We haven't had sex in ages. You don't, like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're never around. We've been having problems for over a year. There's loads of signs that is not.
And who said all of that, Lawrence?
Yeah, but she doesn't disagree with it. She's very much... And like he says, like, you don't even... I think the whole thing of she doesn't cry, she can't cry until she actually finds, you know, the dream guy. She's not like... I'm not saying he's right, but, like, she's not like... That...
I get the sense that he's making excuses because he had an affair.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but there's also, like... I don't think she's... Like, he even says, like, who breaks up with someone and doesn't even shed a single tear, like, who she doesn't seem that phased. She's more pissed off than heartbroken. Whereas Kate Winslet is, like, crushed and needs to get out, where she's like, I'm sick.
Yeah, but
of
they're
shit.
Different people.
Yeah,
I just think it's weird that you're on this guy's side.
I'm not on his side at all. I never said that.
Seems like you are.
I think he's a scumbag. I've okay. Got a note that says the fucking gardener was right to watch him get punched and have a little smirk. But, like, at the same time, I feel like there were two sides of a different coin. I think it's like Kate Winslet needed to take a bit of extra time to really get her head straight and move on from this terrible bloke who she's, like, completely enamored with. Whereas Cameron Diaz was more, I need to remove myself from this, like, horrible environment. I need to stop working. I need to stop putting up with this shit face of a bloke. And she is ready to meet someone and move on immediately, whereas Kate Winslet needs to do a bit of... There needs to be a bit of growth from her and, like, a bit of self-acceptance, which I liked. I mean, it's also a nice little point that the movie doesn't make me watch two different things at the exact same time. But no, I like the extra bit of patience with Kate Winslet's character.
Yeah, oh yeah, I do too. And I like that she... You know, it's not just as simple as her, like, meeting Jack Black and then immediately like falling in love and being together. Jack Black's got his own shit going on as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know? And you know, she meets this like delightful old like Hollywood writer. They have like a who becomes like a sort of like father figure to her, and it's just this really like sweet relationship with this friendly old Jewish man.
I loved him. What a nice character.
Yeah, it was very sweet.
What was it like? I guess his whole deal was like because his wife had passed away, and he was old. And I quite like the. It's almost like a mirror of them, like the pairing of them. Like he knows so much about how people work, being like one of the most celebrated screenwriters, but like can't fathom that people respect him. And like, I think Kate Winslet's in the same boat a little bit. They both need to kind of allow themselves to be loved and treated correctly. And to like expect that from people. And I like that pairing. It's an unlikely thing. And I like that most of the rom-com from Kate Winslet's side was actually more so dead. I think she had more screen time with this old guy than him.
Yeah. Yeah. She went on a fucking, they had a dinner date and everything. They went for dinner. She's like, they're having a little party together.
Oh, that party was so cute. I really like that. It's just a bunch of these old guys just having a laugh. And then like, the second that Arthur, the old guy, sees, like, he just, like, and this is what I quite, it's a bit cheesy again, but he does understand people very much so. He's said he's written some incredible, like, well-regarded work. So he obviously understands a bit about, like, emotion and, like, he wears his heart on his sleeve a little bit. And the second that he sees these two paired up, he's like, oh, you two are perfect. You have no idea at the minute, but you are perfect for each other. So he's like, come on, guys, let's all retire to our bedpans. And he's like this little matchmaker, which is just lovely.
Let's give these young kids, who are both maybe in their 40s, some time to be alone.
Yeah, but when they're 90, they're kids, aren't they?
No, that's true. That's true. And also, Kate Winslet was 30, so. Yeah. I figured it out, Lawrence.
Nice, well done. God, we're all over the place here. Where do you want to talk about? What do you want to do?
So, Kate, no. Fucking Cameron Diaz and Jude Law. Okay. Did you get the sense that they're kind of the main focus of the movie?
Yeah, I think so. Like,
okay.
And I think maybe the reasoning behind that was it's like rom-com wise, especially in the superficial early 2000s, it's probably easier to sell a rom-com leading man with Jude Law in it. Like you say, he's the one that looks like the traditional love interest.
I mean, yeah, but Kate Winslet was in Titanic.
I mean, that's also very true, yeah, so who knows?
Biggest movie in the world at that point, probably.
It's not Still anymore, is it? No, it's Avatar now. Yeah. But I mean, it goes up and down every time there's a big, big, big movie. I do think that they were definitely the focus, because it is the more traditional, bankable story of, like, it quite literally is boy meets girl, they fall in love, and there's some conflict along the way. But I don't know. I found it. It's interesting. I found it the less interesting plot.
What out of the two?
Yeah. I didn't not enjoy it at all. I think they're both great and they both work together. But like it's something different, isn't it? The Kate Winslet stuff. Like I like that she had these tropes of a rom com, but with a 90-year-old screenwriter who's for some reason there, and it doesn't feel weird at all. And I like that.
But it wasn't weird. It was never telegraphed as weird.
Yeah, exactly. And it like
in any way,
it was never like when I first saw like this old guy and he was a bit cheeky, I was like, oh no. And then very quickly I was like, oh, it's not that movie. Okay, good.
a guy working in Hollywood, an old guy working in Hollywood. Oh no, this isn't gonna go well.
Well, and then like he's got that line like, I haven't had work in Hollywood since like the mid 70s, and I was like, what's the story there? I'm concerned.
I think he's just old.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was supposed to be like 90 until like the final scene. So I was like, that's a bit early. You seem like 70s or something. I don't know. I don't know. I just found it like the more, I guess, like fresher take on like a rom-com, more less traditional. I don't know. I found it more refreshing, I guess.
Okay, I think I'm the other way around. I think I prefer the Cameron Diaz Jude Law stuff.
Okay, really. How come?
Just because, I don't know, I enjoy the quaint British village. I enjoy that. I like the house, like I said. Yeah. And like I said, I do like the kind of like almost trashy romance novel aspect of it all. There's just something about that which is very comforting and appealing, and it just really, like, I like it. I dig it. I like the vibe. And doesn't hurt that Jude Law is the most beautiful man, like, in the world at this point.
He is a treat to look at.
Even, like, fucking, what, 16 or 17 years later or so, like, he's still a dish, so he's doing well.
It's true, yeah. I was thinking, like, what have I seen Jude Law in recently? I think the most recent thing I've, like, sat down and watched him in properly was Captain Marvel. And, like, he still looks good.
It's not. I can tell you for a fact, because we went to see the gay Dumbledore movie together.
Oh, the gay Dumbledore movie. Yeah, I did figure. I mean, yeah. Hang on. The Dumbledore's always been gay.
Yeah, I know, but... the Gay Wizard Hitler movie.
The Gay Wizard Hitler movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine if the screenwriters sat there like, imagine if we killed two babies. Mm. Two, that's insane.
Oh, wait, that might have been before Captain Marvel.
It does feel like that, doesn't it? Hang on.
I think it actually was.
I got to find out. What's the name of that terrible movie?
It was, because it was November and Captain Marvel was the following March.
Ah, okay. There we go then.
Yeah, so there you go. You're right. I do apologize.
That's all right. Well, it's fine. I won't hold it against you.
I always remember Captain Marvel. We had a joke about this. When it came to Captain Marvel, they're like, oh, who's the villain of Captain Marvel? I'm like, it's obviously this guy. He's like, who in the trailer is the most sinister looking cunt you've ever met? And he's talking to Carol like, you're not as strong as you think, Carol.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I don't know why they ever tried to, like, keep that as a secret. Like, it's very plain. He's there just being like, oh, yeah, imagine if I was a mentor turned band. All right, while we're talking about Jude Law and Cameron Diaz, I think Cameron Diaz, like, she has such a fucking star quality about her, whereas, like, she can do...
Is she a good actress?
Here's the thing, right? And I think this is an age-old debate with Cameron Diaz.
I think it is too.
Right, because I
don't want to be rude to Cameron Diaz, but, like, sometimes I don't know.
What I would argue to anyone that tells me she's bad is you do it and make it look good. Because it's a fucking... This, on paper, very surface-level, bog-standard stuff, right?
Yeah.
But she is sat there, and, like, I've even wrote it down, like, she is sat there for, like, five-minute scenes where she's just on a laptop, and she's like, where do I want to go on holiday this year? Just talking out loud to herself like no one does.
Yeah. I think with Cameron Diaz, there's always this kind of element of a bit over the top, but, like... Also, it kind of works for her, though.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about Cameron Diaz, which I don't think there's a lot of people who could pull off this kind of acting. But
I completely agree, yeah.
There's something about her which kind of makes it work. For some reason, I'm just willing to buy this over-the-top character from her. Mm. Like, it would be strange if Kate Winslet was doing this stuff, I think.
I was about to say, there's the scene where Kate Winslet, like, she has that kind of funny scene where she's, like, sniffing gas, and she's like, what am I doing?
That was strange, yeah.
Very strange, very early 2000s humour. But at the same time, she has those scenes, and they're not nearly as effortless or charming, because Kate Winslet is known for being, like, a generational talent. She's known to be... like, super naturalistic and super, like, she'll fill in all those books about her character's backstory. Cameron Diaz will show up and be like, what do I have to say? Where do I want to go on holiday? Cool, here's three takes, I'm done.
Like, what am I doing? Am I the bad teacher? All right.
then watch me be the baddest teacher there ever was. I think it suits her. And I also think that I'm sure I'm wrong in this, but, like, from what I've seen of that era, she's... like, leagues above anyone else in terms of carrying this level of cheese and making it, like, at any point in this, because I know it's a different style of acting, so that may have pulled some people out, but at any point watching this movie, did you go, that felt weird, like, with her?
Yes, but, like, okay,
yeah.
But not in a sense of, like, it was bad, you know? Just in a sense that, like I was saying, she pulls it off somehow. Like, it's weird, but it works.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a scene where she comes down the stairs hungover, and instead of, like, a boring scene would be her stumbling, like, walking down the stairs and being like, oh, But she trips over the step and she's like, whoa, where am I? Whoa. And it's more interesting for it. And it's funnier and it's just, easier to watch.
There's a scene where she fucking drives into town. And it's, for some reason, the most harrowing, like, fucking car chase-esque sequence. She's driving a Mini Cooper down a country lane.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not even that small of a country lane. It's big enough to actually have a divide in it, okay?
Yeah, like, it's true.
Most you just get one lane and, like, fucking make the most of it, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the most scary, terrifying, horrible experience. And she's, like, swerving in between traffic and...
Yeah,
and these ADR sound effects of like trucks going past,
screech,
tires screeching, and all this sort of stuff. Strange, man.
I like that she obviously isn't accustomed to the rule, which is if there's a country lane and you're driving down it and you see a truck approaching, you must stop the car and pull in a millimeter to the left for no reason. It won't do anything, but it is courteous to do so to a truck driver.
You gotta, yeah, of course.
I just have a note that says love Mr. Napkinhead.
it was cute. It was charming.
It reminded me of two moments in this took me back to my childhood.
This is
the more niche one.
Let's crack open Lawrence's weird childhood again.
Get ready for Lawrence lore, everyone. firstly, the Mr. Napkinhead, it reminds me of something my dad used to do all the time when I was little. Where he would put glasses on his knee and then sing Never Never Gonna Give You Up by Barry White. And then and then say, it's Barry the Knee. And I would find it the funniest fucking thing, because Barry White's famously got a big old bald head. And my dad has like the most hairless legs you'll ever see on a man. And I don't know why, it just always got me. Cracked me right up.
Never Gonna Give You Up?
No, you're thinking of Rick Astley. I said Never Never Gonna Give You Up.
Never. Which one's that?
Never Never Gonna Give You Up. Play it. I can't describe it. That's the only line from it I know.
I was thinking purely of Rick Astley, and I might not have listened to whatever you said after that because I was too distracted thinking about what song it was.
And the other moment that took me to my childhood was just Jack Black and Kate Winslet walking around in like what is meant to be a Blockbuster-esque store. Yeah. And that's like, oh man, I remember my Friday night excursions to the local Blockbuster on the high street, picking up a movie. I loved it. Yeah, I don't know. There's something, and that's what a Christmas movie should do. I think there should be a part of it like transporting you back in time a little bit and just making you feel all cozy and comforted.
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's like I said, it's not really the sort of like traditional heartwarming cozy Christmas movie. It is more like rom-com focused, but I enjoy that. I enjoy something a little bit different and a little bit unique about it, and it's just good. It's just nice, you know.
It is nice.
It's a nice time. I enjoy it.
It's a banger movie. We got much else to say on it?
No, I reckon we should do a little bit of a shorter one.
Don't get used to them. don't. Imagine next week we're not going to spoil it, but imagine if this was three times as long.
It might be four times as long.
Oh, fuck, it might be actually. Yeah, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It might be closer to four times as long than three times. So,
maybe anyway. I can do some creative cutting, but it's also just like, just a, whatever.
It's all gold as well.
It is.
I enjoy it. What are you doing?
I think it's a very, very good movie. Lots of heart. More style to it than like you'd expect as well. Last thing I'll say is there's a few, like, I think they were coming out around about the same time as the height of this guy's career, but there's a few Edgar Wright-isms in the edits. Like there's a few there's a few like harsh cuts, a few match cuts, a few there's that funny scene where Jack Black is like, I think Kate Winslet puts a coffee in front of his face or something. It might be the other way around. It might be Jack Black offers Kate Winslet a coffee, and then she like shakes her head, and he just immediately goes and comes back with like a gin and tonic or something. And that's very Edgar Wright. Very like something appears in the frame in a funny way.
So you liked that it wasn't directed by Edgar Wright, but reminded you of Edgar Wright?
No, but they were like, there are little isms to people's style. Like he knows that that's his bread and butter, Edgar Wright's funny style. I mean, he's got a style.
Lawrence, do you have any recommendations for me this week? No, I'm sorry.
No, no, I mean, no, we may as well. Enough. There's not much else. Nathan, what we do at this point in the show is we recommend some stuff to each other. It could be anything that we've watched, read, listened to, experienced, just something we've done in the past week that we would love to share with you. Do you have a little recommendation for me?
I already asked you.
Oh, okay. I was fine. you already know what this is. You already told me you knew what this was going to be. But I am...
the paedophile movie.
It's not right. Don't frame it like that.
That's all I know. And all I know about is like someone, like a woman dates like a 13-year-old boy or whatever.
Yeah. So, right. The movie's May December. It's a Todd Haynes movie.
What's it about, Lawrence?
It's basically like Natalie Portman plays this actress who is like going to spend a couple of days with a family because she's preparing to play the mother, play the role of the mother of this family in a movie, in like a big Hollywood movie.
Is she playing herself? Is she playing Natalie Portman?
No, she's not playing Natalie Portman. She's playing Julianne Moore's character. So she goes there.
She's playing Julianne Moore's character.
Yeah. Julianne Moore plays a character, and yeah. Natalie Portman's character is going to play that character in a movie.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah,
I was like, I don't know how else to say it.
The way you phrased it was weird, because I'm like, surely Julianne Moore is playing Julianne Moore's character.
But yeah, no, I can see now where that would have got confusing. Yeah. But yeah, no, just I won't say too much beyond it, but it's a good movie that like there's a lot to think about. It's like pretty blatant in what the movie's called May December, which like if you don't know, it's a term to describe
age gap.
Yeah, it's an age gap term.
This sounds bad.
It's not bad at all.
This just sounds gratuitous, but okay.
It's not. There's nothing in it that's gratuitous.
Well,
how are you going to say this when you have not laid eyes on a single clip of it?
Well, no, I haven't. I genuinely haven't. But just by your description, it's just not something I would enjoy watching.
I like it. Really, really good movie. People should go and check it out. I think it's going to be like it came out pretty late in the year, but I think it's a surprise front runner for like a few Oscar categories, and it's interesting. Just a cool movie with a lot to say, and also it has its sights on the right people, even though the movie itself seems like it could be problematic. It definitely targets the correct people to target.
Sounds like one to miss for me, but there we go.
What is one to hit for you, Nathan?
One to hit for me, Lawrence, is having a good old Christmas time with those you love.
Oh, okay.
And you might say this is a cop-out sort of recommendation. And you know, you're half right. But also, I've been spending some time with some family recently. And I can be a bit of a recluse. I am guilty of sometimes... Yeah, I live alone. And I am sometimes guilty of like locking myself away and being like, I'm a grumpy old man and I just want to be alone and have my privacy and keep to myself and no one disturb me because I'm peace and quiet. You know, it's Christmas time, so I've been visiting and seeing some family recently, especially with my birthday recently, and it's just been nice. It's been kind of nice to spend time because I don't do it as often as I should, really. So it's been nice to, like, see family and catch up and have a laugh with the old man and all that sort of stuff. So
I don't think that's a cop-out. That's a nice little suggestion for people to do.
Well, there you go. If you are able, spend time with loved ones and family this year. If you are not able, I'm your dad. Come see me. We'll have Christmas dinner.
Okay? Or just listen to these episodes. There's loads of them.
No, they can come around.
Okay. Nathan's left a plate.
Yeah, I'll get you a plate.
Lovely. Well, that being said, a very, very Merry Christmas to one and all. Enjoy the holiday season that is approaching and among us.
What's your favourite Christmas tradition, Lawrence?
I like
Do you have any weird family little Christmas traditions that you enjoy?
Not so much weird. It's fairly normal. I like to go on a little walk. I like to go on a Christmas walk, especially now that I've got the dog as well. Nice little out of the house for an hour. Back we go.
Here's a question. Do you get Rosie, your dog, again, not your wife, a Christmas present?
Of course.
And do you wrap said Christmas present?
Of course.
Now, who unwraps this present? Because
she tries, but there's help.
Okay. Okay. I always find it fascinating, the stuff that people do with their pets, because, like,
yeah,
The dog doesn't have a fucking clue what's going on. Like, but there's always, it's more, it's definitely more for the owners and the people. And
oh yeah,
but like, I always find it funny when there was kind of like that TikTok trend a little while ago of people like pretending to be on the phone and like doing that thing where you say all your dog's favorite words, like, yeah, so we're gonna go see grandma and then we're gonna go to the park. And we'll go out for a drive in the car,
yeah.
And the dog's like, you know, like perking up and all this sort of stuff. But like, the dog doesn't know what a phone call is. They have no concept of what to them. You're just saying these words,
and it's like, what are you doing? Why are you saying this and not moving? What's happening?
Exactly. So just drop the whole facade and just say the words.
It'll be the same. Yeah, it's true. I never really considered that because they're putting on a whole like. Forefront
put it
facade.
On a play but the dog doesn't have a fucking clue what any of that is.
The amount of times I'm just like, I catch my dog's eye as I'm like walking into the kitchen or something. She looks at me and I just, for no reason, I'm like, you're right. And I'm like, she doesn't fucking know what that means. She's just like, oh, so you said something. Cool. But yeah. Anyway. Yeah,
we do have this habit of talking to our pets like they're.
You got to, though.
Like they understand us. But.
But that's just nice, inclusive.
Yeah, it is. Of course it's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing to do.
Indeed, indeed. And also, Nathan, I don't know if you know this, but another nice thing that people can do is leave us a little 5-star review. It would be...
They absolutely can do that, yeah.
They can. It would be much appreciated. You can do that on your podcast platform of choice, especially Apple. You can write a nice little message for us. You can give us a little follow. We're on Twitter at Another Happy Pod. That's where you'll get little post reminders for new episodes every single Friday at 10 a.m. It's also a place where you can suggest little topics if you follow the link in our pinned tweet.
Why little? You always, everything is little with you. Little post reminders, little topics.
It's a nice little thing, isn't it?
nice little thing.
I know what I did. Don't frame that like you caught me. That was for you.
I did. I definitely caught you. I saw your face.
You didn't see my face.
You had the air of a man who just said that and then realised he did it again. I saw that.
You might have caught a little mistake. All right. Nathan, speaking of mistakes, we have another podcast, don't we?
Oh, okay.
No, not at all.
That seems rude.
It's largely more successful.
Yes, it's the most successful podcast in the world. That's not true.
No.
But it is all about Doctor Who. Every week we rewatch an episode and discuss that episode. And it's a great fun time. We're enjoying Doctor Who on our rewatch, making our way through Series 4 at the moment. Almost coming to an end of that. And yeah, we're having a lot of fun. 2023 really has felt like the year of David Tennant for me, because like I started rewatching Ahsoka today. I was like, oh, fucking, he's in this as
yeah.
well. It's like I can't escape him. He's everywhere.
Everywhere you turn, there's David.
David is just lurking everywhere.
Just
so yeah, it's been enjoyable. So
indeed. Go check that out, and while you're at it, have a very, very Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, or just a little festive break with your fam. We love you lots. We will see you next week for a too long of an episode.
Very Merry Christmas from our family to yours.
Aww.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.